So if this is your first time here, please, after the service, go to the storefront, to the coffee bar over there, and just ask them for a welcome CD. And we just want to gift that to you. We just want to bless you with it. And we want to learn how to serve you more. If you have any questions, please ask me or one of the other leaders. Like I said, my name is Steve McEnroe. I'm one of the four pastors. We have four pastors of the Rock Church. And all of you may not know this, but we have a church in Sandy and we have a church downtown. And there are four pastors that are leading these churches right now. And I'm one of them. I spend most of my time here with my family in Provo. So it is good to be here this morning. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a few announcements here. First, I'm going to get my little thingy turned on here. If I can remember how to turn it on. Or one of my... Oh, look at that. I can even turn on a monitor. I did it all by myself. All right. Okay, we'll just go through a couple quick announcements here this morning, and then we'll get right into Ephesians. So, the end. Understanding the signs of the times. So what we're going to have, a new series that starts on Friday night. So we also have a church on Friday night that's been rolling for 2.5 years, and this church has been planted from that Friday night church. But this Friday begins a new series titled The End, and Bill and Josh are taking on this series, and it's really going to be good. And even if you're a Sunday morning person, you might have a family member or a friend or somebody that might prefer Friday nights or might be more available Friday nights, and I'd really encourage you to invite them. This is going to be a special series to come and check that out. Bill will be here Friday to kick that off. So that starts this Friday. So that's going to be, I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to be a good series. As well, let's move on. We do have a youth group here, and God is blessed. If you have teenagers between 7th and 12th grade, or if you know of a teenager, you know someone just a friend of yours, they're welcome to join us. We'll be here this Friday or this Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So parents are encouraged to come as well. But typically we meet on the second and fourth Wednesday, but this month we're going three in a row. So we'll be here this Wednesday. And if you want to check that out, if you're just curious, come. This Wednesday we're going to roll up our sleeves and work on the church because we have some projects going. But we'd love to have you join us and love to meet you and have snacks together. I mean, that's the way to really bond, is have snacks together. Huh? That's the way to go. So our youth group is it's just a great group of people. So we'd love to have you join us. We also have, I don't want to forget to mention, recovery group. We have a recovery group that meets here every Sunday at 1 o'clock. That's another one of our small groups. A group of people meet here at 1 o'clock on Sundays. Now, if you struggle with alcohol addiction or drug addiction, God is really doing a special work in this recovery group on Sundays at 1 o'clock. Every Sunday they're here, and there's a bunch of people with similar backgrounds that God's doing a work in, and they're seeking Him to help them. And we'd encourage you, you're welcome to join that. That's open to the public. We want you to be a part of that and come check it out. So that's on Sundays. And life groups, those are small groups in our home. They're really kind of like little churches that meet in the homes. And I'm going to talk about more of that in the chapter of Ephesians that we're touching on today. But we want you to be part of one of these small groups because we want you to grow in your faith. We do. We want the most for you. And that's what these home groups are all about. It's just having community and knowing people and having people know you and love you and help you. We all need that. Don't find yourself on your own. We all need that. We need to be with other people. It's critical in our faith. So check them out. Tuesday nights is when most of them meet. We have baptisms the third Friday and the third Sunday of the month. So this coming weekend, we're actually going to have the tank full. So if you're at a place where you might need to get baptized, come and talk to me. If you know the Lord and you've never been baptized, God actually in the Bible, He commands you to be baptized. And those of us that already understand that and we're believers, we're encouraged, we're commanded to tell those other people that haven't been baptized to help them understand that, hey, this is an important part of your faith. It doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's a step of obedience and an expression to the Lord of what's happened in your life. So come and talk to me if you're curious about that or you're trying to decide whether that's something you should do. And then we have a tithe and offering box. Simply hangs on the wall over there. That's where all the finances of this church they go through that little box. It's just that simple. We like things simple around here. But all the churches put their money together. Basically, the churches up north are carrying us right now because we're a new beginning. But if it wasn't for the bigger church, the new beginnings wouldn't happen. So that's where it gives, that little black box. And with that, I think kids are dismissed. We have full kids programs, so kids are dismissed. And for us at this church, the kids program, that isn't just kind of a babysitting thing, but it's important to us. These are our families. These are our kids. So we put a lot of time and energy into our kids' classes, and they're really cool, and they have a theme, and there's lots of different things we do. So just want you to know that. Your kids will be well taken care of. So this morning we're going to continue on. This is actually part 5 of our Ephesians study. The overall title is Revealed, Unveiling the Mystery of the Church. And this morning, chapter 3 is really near and dear to my heart. So I am really excited to talk about this chapter this morning, look at it with you, chapter 3, because I think it is life-changing. It is life-changing. If you can really get your arms around and really grab a hold of the truths in chapter 3, it will change your life. It has changed mine. I'm not just saying that. I'm living it, and I'm experiencing it. So I'm really looking forward to kind of walking through the different things here. Why don't we just step back a little bit first? And we talked about Ephesus 2 weeks ago. Lee finished up chapter 2, and now I'm picking up in chapter 3. But I just want to reset the stage a little bit, review a little bit about this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people in Ephesus. Actually, it was written to all the people in Asia. And it's very applicable to you and me right now. It is. It's good truth. It's good instruction from the Lord. But in Ephesus, remember at the time, Ephesus was a happening city, without a doubt. It's the second largest city next to Rome at that time. Rome was huge, and Ephesus was probably 250,000 people. And Ephesus was kind of like a melting pot of ideas and an exciting place to be. And it was on the coast, and it was a port city. And so a lot of people visited Ephesus. And the city of Ephesus actually had a temple. Let me look. I think I have the picture on here. Yeah, they had this temple, and this is artist's rendition, the Temple of Artemis. But this was quite a time, Ephesus. The bay was kind of filling in with silt from the rivers, so some of their economy was kind of tanking. And they were trying to figure out other ways to bring people in, to attract people. And actually, this temple was one way for this city to provide income. It drew tourists. People came from miles around to visit this. And this kind of plays right into, because this was the false religion of the day in Ephesus. There was this false religion going on, but it was also bringing income to the economy. So it was important to the people who lived in Ephesus that the temple did well. But then comes along this group of people who start this church, and they start this ruckus, this thing called the Way. It's these Christians. They weren't called Christians at the time. It was called, there's these people that follow the Way. Okay, this is a new thing. It's a very new and really foreign to the people that, most of the people that live there. In Ephesus. So let's just kind of get right in here to the text. First, I'm going to pray. Pray, God, Lord, you just help us today. I thank you for your word. Thank you. We don't have to add anything to it. It's so good. It's so clear. This morning we need to be taught. God, I need to be taught, Lord. I just thank You even for the thoughts I've had this morning and how important this message is, God. I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want anybody here to miss a thing, God. So I pray You'd help us against distractions, even mentally, Lord. Our minds can wander. I pray You just really zero in and teach us the things that we need to learn this morning, Father God. We need You this morning. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read through some of the texts, some of the stuff that we're going to look at today. I'm going to break this up into 6 points. I'm going to make 6 points on chapter 3. Really, I mean, we could go on and on for weeks and weeks and weeks. But this morning, we're just going to go 6 points. I'm going to kind of break it up. First, I'm going to read about 2/3 of the chapter. So read with me. If you have a Bible, feel free to pull it out. You know, typically our text is in the NIV because it kind of cuts right across from the ESV to NLT. The NIV speaks to your average Joe that comes in the door. And that's why we use the NIV. You know, even me, myself, personally, I don't do my own quiet times with the NIV Bible. That's not saying that it's a bad version. It's a fine version. It's just not the one I typically use. And maybe it's not the one you typically use. But I just want to communicate to you why we do that. Because even in all of our churches, that's what we do. Because it kind of just cuts right through for the average person that comes into our church. So let's start right in. Paul writes a letter to the people in Ephesus. This port city. His church. He's writing this letter to believers. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus." And the next part. "I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I'm less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." Okay, let's reel back and just kind of start paging through this a couple verses at a time. In the first one, I actually even step back into chapter 2, because Paul actually refers to chapter 2 as he kicks off chapter 3. He says, "And in Him," this is chapter 2, "and in Him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." That's a profound verse right there, that God's Spirit is coming into the believers. God, and that's you, and that's me. If you believe in Jesus, His Spirit lives in us. And so that something is happening because of that. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." Now, we can look at Acts chapter 21, verses 17, 36 through 36, and see it shows how Paul ended up in prison. So this letter is being written by a man who is in prison. Paul is not actually in Ephesus. He's in Rome. He's in prison. And when you look at those verses in Acts, he was preaching. He was sharing his faith. And Paul was, he is fired up. He would not hold back. So he'd go right into a city crowd and he would talk about Jesus the Christ. talk about Christ. And because of his bold preaching, he's in prison. He's in prison when he's writing this. Now, often in the epistles, they'll address a problem. In some of the other epistles, they maybe address a specific trouble that's happening in the church or addressing a certain type of thing. In this one, in the epistle, in Ephesians, he doesn't address one problem, but actually, in this whole thing, he is sharing God's vision for the church. Now, put yourself in Paul's place. He may not, he doesn't know if this is his last sermon or his last letter that he's writing. Paul loved the church. Paul loved the church. He helped start the church. Jesus started the church through Paul, his disciples. That's how they started the church. Well, Paul's got a pastor's heart. More than that, he's an apostle. So he cares deeply for the church. He is concerned about every part, and he has a profound message here. He wants us to know the vision for the church. And you know what? It's not a whole lot different than what we're trying to do in the Rock churches. In fact, it's not different. One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. That's the vision. That's our vision statement for the Rock churches. One life at a time, one world in our lifetime. Paul is explaining the church. It's a new thing, but it's God's vehicle to reach the world. So when he writes this letter, it's his vision. It's everything. He says you need to get this. Understand that this is a work of God, this church. You need to understand that. I love the church. I do. I love the church. As your pastor, I love the church. And I am convinced that the church of Jesus saved me, but this church is a vehicle to help my life. And I'm experiencing that right now in a very intimate and personal way. The church has responded to my health challenge. I can't imagine what it would be like to not have my family. Of course, my wife and my kids, you know, they respond and they're supporting me. But everyone in the churches has too. I can't hardly put it into words. I am covered because of the church. The church is God's idea for you and for me to live out our lives. So good. Now, Paul's writing to believers. He loves the church. He's in prison because of his bold teaching. He wants to shepherd them. He longs to be with them. He has a message for the church. He just wants them to get this. They could just get this. The church will go on. And 2,000 years from now, they'll be in an old warehouse still having church. Because people did get it, by the way. And people are still getting it. I get it. I understand what's taught here. I know I don't comprehend everything, but in a little way, I say, oh, that's it. That's it. I hope you do too. Let's continue to the Revelation. It's another couple verses we're just going to look at here. Verses 2 and 3. Let's kind of step through this. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. So Paul's already written some about this revelation. I want to read to you a quote from a teaching by Bob Deffenbaugh. He's a pastor in Texas, a Bible teacher, and a fine Bible teacher. But I just like what he wrote here. Christianity made people who were things into real men and women, more into sons and daughters of God. It gave those who had no respect their self-respect. It gave those who had no life, life eternal. It told men that even if they did not matter to other men, they still mattered intensely to God. It told men who, in the eyes of the world, were worthless, that in the eyes of God, they were worth the death of His only Son. Christianity was and still is the most uplifting thing in the whole universe. That is the way. It's what Paul is trying to describe here, is the way. Christianity, the way that God has provided for us. Paul was and still is, through his words, God spoke through him that he wrote, he's still administering God's grace. Just reading this, just being here today, you are being administered by God's grace. Isn't that great? Thank you, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that it's changing me. You see, God saved Paul. And in the same way, ultimately, when you get right down to it, that He saved you and I. Now Paul has quite a story, doesn't he? Because Paul was a Jew. So at the time of this religious time, Paul was a Pharisee before he wrote this. Before his conversion, his occupation was to hunt down Christians and kill them. So for the religion of the day, Paul understood that completely. But God comes along and changes Paul's course. God chose to save Paul. So, and we can read that in the Bible. We can read about Paul's dramatic conversion where God came and saved him, blinded him, showed himself to Paul. Paul gets saved and rescued. And here this man who opposes Christians with all of his life and been taught all of his life until now turns and understands the way and becomes a part of the way. And more than that, becomes one of the leaders. Now you can say, well, my conversion wasn't quite that radical. Nonetheless, you were on the road to destruction. And if you had a choice, and we all have a choice, to know God and follow the way, or to not know God and follow a different way for eternity. You and I have. So my conversion is in yours, believers. This letter is written to believers, is no less miraculous. God saved you. Incredible. He chose you. You personally. You have your own personal little story. I have my story where God chose me and turned me a different way. The same thing happened with Paul. And God did something very special with Paul, didn't He? He gave him a huge task. To the known world at that time. He said, everyone, even the heathen, the Gentiles, this message is for them. It isn't just for the Jews. It's for them. It's for everyone. Paul was saved. God gave him this message and told him, I want you to tell everyone. So just a miraculous. Then God chose him, enveloped him with grace, revealed it to him the new way. Let's go to point three here. The next couple verses, 4-6. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So Paul was given insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I want to read you another commentary by Lawrence O. Richard. Four times in these verses, Paul speaks of the church as a mystery. In the New Testament, this word does not refer to the unknowable or to the kind of secret knowledge claimed by religious cults. Instead, mystery in Scripture designates information communicated by revelation from God. Paul's emphasis in this passage is on the fact that the church, as the living body of Christ, in which all believers are united, is a completely new revelation, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Thus, we cannot learn about the church by looking into the Old Testament. We must understand the church from the New Testament. So, Jesus comes, changes everything, and starts the church through the apostles. So the church is a New Testament thing. And that's what Paul is trying to share here. This is a new thing. It has not been taught in ages past. The body of Christ, or the church, is just beginning, you see. As he wrote this letter, there was not a New Testament yet. He was writing it. He sent this letter. The New Testament is just now being employed. And can you imagine this melting pot, this place, Ephesus, and they're trying to get a hold of this, the way. They're trying to understand it, and they're pulled and drawn by what they've been raised in. Most all of them were raised in this religious time for years and years and years and years. They're waiting for the Messiah. And they're very religious, very strict to the law. All kinds of things that they were required to do. And if you got caught working on the Sabbath, you'd be killed. Just a legalistic type of world they lived in. And then this new idea, this new thing comes along, and Paul is given the task of communicating it. And so are we. It continues on. So good. How they missed the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. He fulfilled all the prophecies. It's just baffling. And it just goes to show you that there is an evil one. There is deception. There is lies. And there is a God. And there is a battle going on in the heavenlies, which doesn't mean way up in the clouds, right here where we are. The heavenly realms is now, it's here, it's happening. Amazing. There's been opposition all along. But this, Paul is communicating, and he's writing this letter to say, you got to get it. You have to understand this. That God's vehicle is the church. Your protection is the church. Jesus is the head of the body of believers. But the church is everything. I want you to be in a church. I want you to live your life in a church. One life at a time, one world in a lifetime. And the church is going to grow and advance. And more people are going to come to know me because of the church. So good. Paul's ministry. Oh my. Let's just read this text, verses 7 through 9. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Proclaiming this mystery of the unity of Jews and Gentiles in Christ was Paul's stewardship, even though it involved suffering. Because of his bold preaching, he's in prison, and God gives him his ministry. Remember, the Gentiles, that'd be the heathens. It'd be unheard of to think that they were involved, the Gentiles, the other ones, the heathen, the religious people of the time, there's just no way they could know God. And then Paul, who was a Jew, who who was a Pharisee. In fact, he's one of the guys, he made a life, a living, out of hunting down Christians and persecuting them. Then he's saved, his life changes, God gets a hold of his heart, and he starts preaching God's mantle that he puts on him. And says, Paul, everyone, I want you to preach to the heathen. I want you to preach to the Gentiles, Jew and Gentile alike. Everyone is welcome into the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is ahead. Paul, your ministry is just going to radically change from what you were raised in, what you were taught. Now I'm going to tell you the truth here. And he knew Jesus. He witnessed it. He's an apostle. And his ministry is to tell everyone, the whole world, Jesus died on a cross for you. It's true. It's true. And he rose from the dead and he conquered death and you're welcome. He wants you to know him. So Paul says, Jesus, you got to know him. He's God. He died for you. And he wants you to be part of his church. He wants you to bring as many as you can with you when you go to heaven. So good. Let's look at, in Colossians, Paul writes as well about his ministry. Let's read this. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. That's the commission that God gave Paul. You see that? Gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim Him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all His energy, which so powerfully works in me. We have that same ministry. And it's God that is doing it. God is building His church here on earth. And you and I are a part of that. So good. Let's look at the church here a little bit. In point number 5. In verses 10 through 13. His intent was that now, through the church, are you getting it? That's me and you. That now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him and through Him, through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. The church. That's God's vehicle. I'm reading another little commentary from Lawrence Richard. This new revelation is a stunning expression of the manifold wisdom of God. The idea is complex, many-faceted. God's plan was more complex than was revealed in Old Testament times. They didn't have the whole picture yet. Although the church was always a part of the eternal purpose, for all angelic beings, the church is an amazing surprise. For us, the new relationship with God experienced by members of the church is direct access to the Lord. With freedom and confidence, the intimacy of our shared relationship with God is a jolting surprise. To the people of the day, they would say, you can't approach God. The religious people of the time would say, you can't approach God. Only the priest can. Only certain individuals can approach. And this is all contrary to that. That's in the face of that. No! Everyone can know Jesus! Everyone can! And that's been God's eternal plan all along. And in the Old Testament, and all those books that you religious folks memorized and knew and all this, and tried to follow, that has changed. God had a plan then, and it has changed now in Christ. He sent His Son to be with us, to reveal the mystery of the church. You and I are part of that mystery. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to Satan and the world. To Satan and the world. Oh my, here's this church, God's vehicle. The church, you and I are God's church. You and I, this church, we are God's sermon to the world. As God saves people one by one, you know, I came to know the Lord, my wife and I, in a little church in Loveland, Colorado. That's where we were saved. That's where we met Jesus. That's where God chose us. A little startup church, under 100 people in Loveland, Colorado. And God got a hold of my wife and I and my family, and we went another direction. Because I certainly wasn't following Christ at age 37. All the way up into that. Certain might not have been persecuting Christians, but I wasn't being very nice to them. God got a hold of me, took the scales from my eyes. I received Him into my life. And the power of His Holy Spirit came into my life and changed my life. And from that point on, I wanted to be part of the church. Why? Because I understood that there was safety in the church. And there were people that loved me. And one life at a time, one family at a time, that church grew and grew. That church eventually helped plant a church in Sandy, Utah. So just a couple people came, a couple families, eventually 30 people in the core church in Sandy start this church. It was a new thing. It was a church plant. And we loved the Lord, and we understood these verses. We understand that there's a family thing that's way beyond us. The body of Christ is God's church. It's not only the rock, it's every Bible-believing church in the world. We are the body of Christ, and Christ is the head. But the church is part of what God was doing. People sometimes say, well, I don't go to church, that's where all the hypocrites are. The church is God's design to reach the world, and it's His protection for you and for me. I'm experiencing it right now. In my life, God is like cradling me and helping me and showing Himself to me through you. And it's my life, it's everything. I love the church. And I can't imagine when people tell me they're leaving the church, I just like, what? Why would you leave the church? Yeah, maybe God moves people around once in a while, but honestly, I usually tell people, you know, well, it's like you're divorcing us. Oh, no, it's not. You know, and God does move people to other places. But when people just leave the church for no good reason, maybe they can't work something out with somebody. I honestly, it breaks my heart, and I don't get it. But I see it all the time. And I think it's just Satan just confuses people. Just causes them to stumble. Because the church, this is God's design. And we are a church planting group of people. Our little churches, we're part of a bigger group of churches called Great Commission Churches. Now, it isn't the only movement of churches in the world, but it's a part of the church movement that we are a part of. There's like 50,000 people all over the world in meeting like we are, trying to live out these verses in Ephesians, God's plan, the church. And God is doing it one life at a time, one world in our lifetime. And we see it. I personally have walked into it from being in the world to getting saved to being incubated in a church to loving the church to pouring my life into the church, everything. It's just, I care deeply about this church. I care about your marriages. I care about your kids. I care about your reckless decisions. I care about you guys. And when you get it, when you understand Paul as our pastor, as he's leading us, he wanted you to get that. He wants me to understand it. Because once I did, and once that's not in question, yeah, I'm going to get up and I'm going to be a part of this. And I'm going to try to help the next person that comes in here, no matter how downtrodden he is. Because it's not my design, it's God's design. Oh my goodness, we have a creator. This is his design. He wants to help people. And we've seen it, haven't we? That little church in Sandy grew and grew and grew. We planted a church downtown and that grew and grew and grew. My goodness, two and a half years ago, or 3 years ago, there's three of us. It was February, 3 years ago, 30 so of us are meeting in a little hotel up the road here. Just as a small group, singing songs, being a little church. And now there's 152 to 200 people that are regular coming to our two services. I mean, combined together. Yeah, 150 to 200 people from those 30 people 3 years ago. That is a picture. I don't know if you get it or not, but God has taken these lives, and we're not perfect. Man, we all stumble, make mistakes, and we're trying to help each other. We're trying to work through things. But God has helped all of us because of that. And He is reaching the world, and He is using your life. And He is using my life. And there's really not any other thing worth living for than being a part of that. How dare we be selfish with our faith? Others need to know this message. It's the most important thing on this planet. Is that others come to know Christ, get knit into a church somewhere. It doesn't have to be our church, don't get me wrong. The body of Christ. I just want people to understand it. That is God's design. He wants everybody to know Him and to get knit into the body of Christ. So we can help each other on earth. And we can help more people come into relationship with Jesus. Such a beautiful thing. And as Paul often does, he steps into a prayer. It's like oftentimes he's writing a letter and he's just, it just transforms into a prayer. Does that ever happen to you? You're thinking about something and you know it's from God and it's between you and God, and all of a sudden you're just praying to Him. It's like, God. Now this prayer here I think is really profound. And I'm not going to break it up. Maybe someday we will. But here's Paul's prayer for you. This is such a good prayer. This is my prayer for you. I prayed for this a number of times while preparing for this. I prayed for the Rock Church. I prayed for the Provo Rock. This prayer. And this is Paul's prayer for us. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." Paul understands it's a humble position that makes sense, and that's on our knees. "From whom this whole family in heaven on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." What a beautiful prayer Paul prays for us. What a beautiful prayer for you and I to really internalize and know and pray. Man, use this in your prayer time. Pray for your family. Pray for your wife this way. If you want a new little routine, put this into your prayer life. What a good prayer. I like this quote by C.H. Spurgeon. He said, "Prayer pulls the rope down below, and the great bell rings above in the ears of God. Some scarcely stir the bell, for they pray so languidly. Others give only an occasional jerk at the rope. But he who communicates with heaven is the man who grasps the rope boldly and pulls continuously with all his might." May you and I be that Christian. We pull continuously on that rope. Ring that bell. I love that song, "I Will Not Forget You." It just comes to life when I read this quote. It's just, ring that bell. God, I want to talk to you. I want to communicate with you. I don't know about everybody else, but I do. I want to know you. And it may be really hard. And it may be in my suffering that I ring the bell the most, but it is the sweetest sound. And when there's just nothing like this relationship I have with you, God, my King. You know me. It says in your Bible, you have your eye on me. You will protect me. You are my refuge. You are my God. It's like Caleb shared earlier. He's got it. He's got us. God has us. No matter what you're up against this morning, there is a God. And He's going to take care of you. Communicate with Him. Talk to Him. I'm going to just step back. I want to read that prayer one more time. If we can just step backwards, back to that prayer again. Shelley, thank you. I want to just read this prayer again. And after this prayer, I'm just going to have my own little personal prayer. But I want to implement and include this prayer in my prayer to end this morning. It's just so good. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom His whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Do you believe that this morning, believer? His power is at work within us. "To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's just close with another prayer, God. I just continue Paul's prayer, God. I just continue my own prayer. I just pray with my brothers and church sisters here in this church, God. I just pray to You. We need You. Lord, thank You that You understand that more than... You don't need me to say it. You know it. But I think it pleases You when we do come before You and just acknowledge that You are God. We are not. Take care of us, God. Lead us. Help us to understand You a little bit more today, just going away, God, that we would love Your church. We'd understand that it's Yours. It's not a building. It's not an administration. It's not a religion. It's You, God. We are part of Your body. That is amazing. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You that You died on the cross for our sins. Each and every one of us. You paid the penalty that we could not pay. You were a substitution for us on the cross. I just praise You and thank You for that, Jesus. Thank You that You nailed our sins to that cross. And You died. But yet You rose from the dead. There was a resurrection. You are the King of glory. You are God. And You welcome us in with open arms, God. We receive You. We need You. We love You. Ask You to lead us this morning. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.